Welcome to Sibylline Podcasts, part of our World Risk Register Threat Monitoring Service. These podcasts are released on a weekly basis, covering timely and relevant topics. In these discussions, we hope to shed light on evolving scenarios and provide actionable predictions and implications. We hope you enjoy listening and welcome any feedback. In this session, we're going to be talking about the ongoing strikes across France. And with me to do that, I'm joined by our lead Europe analyst, Matt Sachowski. So Matt, what's the latest?
So we are currently entering our third set of two-day strikes, which have been scheduled for the 13th and 14th of April. Previously, strikes were held on the 3rd and 4th and 8th and 9th April. Currently, we are seeing a reduced participation of railway workers. In the past two sessions, we've had one out of seven TGV trains and one out of four regional trains running. Now we're seeing those numbers double and triple, so it's very much on a downward trajectory in terms of its disruptiveness. We are also seeing unions at the Air France aviation company using these strikes to put their demands forward, although it's an unrelated wage rise issue. It's obviously contributing to the disruption that these strikes are causing. We have also, just yesterday, President Emmanuel Macron has appeared on national TV in what was his first address to the public on these strikes. And he very much tried to portray these strikes and his reforms as something that's necessary to be carried out in order to reform the French economy. He again pushed for his reform program and a kind of very long-term vision to change the French economy.
So is it primarily these strikes are being primarily run and driven by rail unions, and it's a case of other unions getting involved as well as sort of in an opportunistic manner, or is it the CGT who are running it? Or?
Yes, that's very correct. It's the CGT Cheminot Union, which is the lead union it's the leader of the nine unions which are participating in the railway worker strikes. But apart from these nine, we are also seeing participation from student unions who are demonstrating against what they perceive to be increased selectivity within the French university higher education system.
Yeah.
We also have had a fairly unsuccessful strikes by the waste collection and energy supply companies.
So you say unsuccessful. Why?
It was unsuccessful because these workers have not managed to reach those kind of mobilization levels as the railway workers have done. And this is in part due to the fact that the railway workers traditionally have a very special status in France, which goes back to the First World War, when they have been granted a kind of special status because of their role in delivering supplies to the battlefronts.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So is it mostly Paris that's been affected, or are these truly nationwide?
They are fairly nationwide. However, obviously with Paris as the major industrial hub in the country, Paris has been the most affected, especially with people who are commuting to Paris from neighboring regions within France. Apart from that, we also have this kind of underlying tension between Macron and the unions, which, especially the CGT union, which has had, which has entered into a conflict with Macron over his previous reforms dating back to September 2017, when they tried to unsuccessfully again oppose his reforms aiming to liberalize the French labor market. These reforms have passed through, but these CGT unions have been almost humiliated by their defeats, and they are very much trying to take this forward and reassert their influence in the French labor system.
Yeah, so I guess ever since Macron was elected on a platform of reforms and changing the labour market and streamlining France's economy, strikes have almost been inevitable. So what has triggered these ones now?
So a big part in the trigger was, as I said, the sensitivity of the railway sector. But there's also a more underlying issue in the sense that Macron has gained a reputation of, le président de riche, president of the rich. Mm. This is partly due to the fact that some of his taxes have been seen as beneficial to the higher income part of the French economy, traditionally associated with the right, thus inflaming the conflict with the hardline left-wing CGT. So this has contributed to the tensions. And this is likely to remain a future in France, because Macron has by no means finished with his reforms. The next ones potentially to be even more controversial, as they will touch on pension reforms. So we are potentially going to be seeing further of these strikes.
Okay, yeah. So, and in terms of the fundamental drivers behind the strikes, you know, you've covered most of them. I think they're, you know, very concisely. Thank you. But so fundamentally, Macron coming to power on a reformist platform, what's his long-term goal? Is he fundamentally planning to bring France closer to other EU countries in terms of making France more cohesive and building a broader centralist European bloc, or are there other things at play here?
This is very much a feature of his reforms. He is pursuing a liberalisation of employment contracts in France. He's also taking an aim at the education reform. And eventually we will see moves to lower the taxes in order to bring the French economy to a high competitiveness level. Underlying this is the nature of the French economy, which works in a two-tiered way, you might say, where on the inside you have people who almost have jobs for life, very, very beneficial employment benefits, and things like that. And on the outside, you have people who are trying to break into this system, who have so far been excluded. And so in this, you also see a push for greater French security, in the sense that Macron very much realizes that this creates the imperfect integration of French migrant communities into the labor market, which is what's partly driving what we have seen in recent weeks in Trebs and Carcassonne, the terrorist attacks there.
Yeah, that's a really good point, of course. So effectively, it's economic structural pitfalls that are leading to excluded communities amongst the jobless and the poor, which in turn is driving or is setting the context for radicalism and so on, that's leading to an elevated number of jihadist attacks across France. And although they have dropped significantly in the last year or two, notably because of growing police, the police are better. That's what I'm trying to say. It's still a threat, as you said about Carcassonne and so on. So, but going back to the kind of broader picture in the EU, do you think Macron is trying to redefine the kind of beating heart of Europe along with Angela Merkel? And is he trying to make France more like Germany, so that the two of them can sort of be the beating heart of Europe in the context of Brexit and the UK leaving and growing threat to EU cohesion?
Very much so. I would potentially argue that he is more inspired, for example, by Denmark's flexi-security model, which is what we have argued in our alert as well. But he is definitely trying to use this as part of his broader EU reform, where he is almost pioneering, maybe following in the example of the Netherlands, a more national reform of the economy, which is interesting given how his EU policy is oriented, where he pushes for a higher degree of risk sharing rather than national reforms. So there is this two-pronged approach almost in Macron's strategy for his reform of France and to boost France's growth. But it is very, very much a long-term vision. In his recent TV address, he specifically said that he was aiming to rebuild France for the next 50 years so that it could be a sovereign state, which obviously aims at the recent trade war or the so-called trade war between President Trump and China. Again, to put France forward as a viable force in today's globalized and increasingly globalized economy.
Mm, yeah, that's great. So what's going to happen next? In the short term, how are we looking in the next couple of weeks? And then more broadly, what's on the horizon?
So the participation in today's two-day strikes is very much indicative of this. We are starting to see the unions peeling away as the participation of their workers continues to fade.
And why is that? What's driving that trajectory? Why are these strikes, attracting fewer and fewer people?
Partly this is because simply people need their income, but also because the public opinion is very much on the side of Macron, which has begun to shift in the early days of this week. For those who were following the opinion polls in France, we have seen Macron's popularity dip almost dangerously in February and January. However, this has now rebounded, and the most recent opinion polls indicate that over 65% of the French population believes that the strikes are not justified. So this is very much fueling this kind of almost demoralization of participation in the strikes. On a more deep level, the unions are by no means a united force. At the most recent announcement, the CGT unions, on an unrelated issue of civil service strikes, they have announced a strike on the 22nd of May, and this has been really indicative of what's going to happen in the more longer term, because the CGT union and other more hardline unions have pushed for these strikes, but the CFDT union and the UNSA Association of Other Unions have not agreed to participate in these strikes. And this is the very much the fault line which we are expecting to see, because these two unions which refuse to participate are much more moderate compared to the CGT union. So that's another driver of why the participation is dropping.
Right. And in terms, so you mentioned that the ongoing CGT strike is, there are 18 iterations of two-day strikes, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
When will that sort of come to an end? You know, how long is that going to last for?
So the 18th of those 18 strikes is set to come to an end on the 28th of June. And this is because these iterations have three-day periods in between them, and they are scheduled regularly, regardless of whether it's a weekend or a working day. So these are currently scheduled to last until the end of June. However, given the current trajectory, they may well be called off, or the level to which they disrupt the French economy may drop to a fairly insignificant level in the coming months.
Yeah. And what about, you mentioned other strikes, the Air France
yes.
group and so on. Do you think there's going to be more of those kind of strikes and industrial action by other unions and others sort of jumping on the bandwagon, or is that sort of going to fade away?
So this is definitely a potential. The Air France unions seem to be quite set in their demands. They have caused a significant degree of disruption and flight cancellations. But this was partly because they correlated with the railway strikes. That was a kind of galvanizing effect for them. On the other hand, the French labor unions in general are quite powerful. They have a very strong degree of influence over the legislative process, and they are used to having this kind of power and influence over the state of their workers. So we could definitely see strikes in further areas. However, this is most likely to be limited to the sectors where this influence can be really brought to bear, for example, in the aviation industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the longer term, you know, over the course of the summer and looking into, you know, autumn and I guess even next year, if we can, you know, Macron, as you mentioned, is going to keep reforming and, you know, addressing reforms towards new industries and so on. So currently his popularity is quite high, and I guess to an extent that's mitigating the effect of the strike. But is he going to be so lucky, do you think, throughout the rest of this year and looking forwards, or are we looking at, you know, eventually, ultimately, a kind of a big showdown?
We are definitely seeing that his public support is fairly robust. He has been willing to make some concessions, even towards the more radical railway unions. For example, he has protected the railway service in more rural areas, which goes to show that there is a continuing, if not increasing, rural-urban divide in France. And that is partly what plays into the level of disruptiveness of these strikes, because we see that in the rural areas, people are used to a much higher degree of the state role in their lives more generally. So it will very much be a question of his public support. However, I would argue that he will retain this public support because he's a very skilled politician, as we have seen in many of his confrontations, both before and after he was elected president. He was one of the first European presidents who almost stood up to Vladimir Putin, for example. And his debates against Marine Le Pen in the presidential debates were very, very important in the final result. There is also a question of whether the economy continues to grow, which has been a fairly important driver of the dropping participation of the strikes. And this has again been attributed to his reforms. And the strikes also follow the fairly protracted economic crisis which followed 2008 and 2011 in France. And it is very much still within the French people's memories that things weren't always as prosperous as they are now. So I would argue that the intensification of the strikes is quite unlikely, although we will have to wait and see how the public support sways, because, as I said before, the pension reforms are likely to be much more controversial than the railway reforms, even giving the railway workers special status in France.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. And just to finish off, are there any sort of major flashpoints coming up in the next few days or weeks and months that you can identify which might form a kind of a focal point for the strikes, or, you know, for that matter, you know, to make them effectively stop?
So important flashpoints in general will be speeches by either Macron or his transport minister. Macron himself is set to appear on TV again on Sunday, so that will be another indication of the longer-term trajectory of the strikes. Various other incidents, especially those which involve any kind of clashes between French security forces and more left-wing protesters. For example, right now we have an ongoing situation in the southwest of France where a far-left group has squatted on a property where a future airport is supposed to be built. And there has been a protracted standoff between French security forces and these people, and that obviously has fueled many of the more left-leaning strikes, for example, the student strikes. So in the long term, we could potentially see clashes with security forces on the very first day of the strikes on the 22nd of March. This has led to about 50,000 people protesting against security forces in Paris. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. However, in the long term, we do not see any, for example, large-scale riots or any similar incidents happening.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Really interesting stuff. And I would just add there, for the benefit of our listeners, if that's provoked any thoughts or questions, please don't hesitate to get in touch, and we'd be more than happy to talk more or jot down some of our thoughts in an email. So thanks very much for listening, and we hope to speak to you soon. Thank you for listening, and we hope you have found this podcast useful. If you would like to learn more about our services, or if you have any questions or feedback, please get in touch at info@sibylline.co.uk.